Praise the Lord. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 1. You probably know these scriptures. You may even have them marked. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by the glory and virtue by which we have been given, by which have been given to us exceeding great precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world through lust. Now, this is great scriptures, and we know there's so much that could be realized out of these scriptures that we can't do it all in one setting. But I want to share a few things with you out of these scriptures this morning. I think that will help you. First of all, if you look at these verses, you reveal that there's plans for you. Then if you look at them again, you see that there's provision. If you look at them again, you see that there's promise. And, I'm going to call this message, Grow Up to Go Up. Okay? Now, as you were growing up, you know, there were some things that you weren't allowed to do or get a hold of until you grew up a little bit. You know, and that's the way it is with God. We have to grow up to get ready to be there for the opportunities when they come. You know, a lot of us, myself, for a fact, man, I couldn't wait to get to drive. Anybody like that? Yeah, I got some. But you know what? You had to grow up a bit, right? You know, you thought you could do it when you were 12 and 13 years old, but you had to grow some more and get some more. And you see, now, with God, we have to continue to grow in order to get to the things that God has for us. Now, looking back, as I continually sow the word of God into my life, I was able to grow and be ready for the opportunities when they came my way. You know, I couldn't be here today doing what I do unless I grew up in the Word and grew up in the natural. See, this is, you can use this as a twofold deal: natural growth, spiritual growth. We all have to grow naturally in order to obtain certain things in our lives. Is that not correct? And we have to grow spiritually in the Word in order to obtain certain things in our lives. We have to grow up in order to be ready for the opportunities that come our way in the natural. And we have to grow up in the Word in order for us to be ready for the opportunities that come to us from the spiritual area and in God's area. You know, I want to encourage you to keep sowing the Word in your life. Now, growing in the knowledge of God and His Word is necessary if we are to understand God's plan. See, that second verse said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, you know, not just grace and peace added, but multiplied. You see that? You know, not just added, but if we're going to get the things of God in our lives, there has to be a knowledge of the Word of God as we grow in grace and peace. Now, you know, grace and peace comes through the knowledge of the Word of God. And, you know, other things come to us through the knowledge of the Word of God. I used to hear my dad, he would make this statement many, many times. I've heard him say it. You cannot have faith beyond your actual knowledge of God's word. You can't go any higher and go up with God any more than the knowledge of God's word. This knowledge of this word right here. Many times you ask people, what scripture are you basing your request or whatever you're believing God for? What scripture are you basing it on? Just the word, none in particular. And I've heard Dad do this many times, and he'd tell him, he'd say, that's exactly what you're going to get, nothing in particular. And I guess I've done it too, but I lay it off on him that way. Makes me look better. But, when you are believing God for things, you need to have basic, specific scripture to base what you're believing for. When you do, you begin to realize it comes through the knowledge of the word. Knowledge of the word. In Hebrews 4:6, we've read this before. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of God, I will also forget your children. Here we see that the children of Israel were taken advantage of and were being taken into captivity because they refused to have knowledge of God. See, our knowledge in whatever field you want to name it, if you're in the medical field, the amount of knowledge you have will take you so far. Now, there's people in the medical field that have knowledge, but they don't have the same knowledge that the doctor has, so they can only go so far. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? I mean, you can have knowledge of how to, and I could, I used to work on cars. Now they got that electronic stuff. You can't, but you can have knowledge of how to change oil in the car, change the oil filter and all that. But without knowledge of the way the mechanics of the things works, you're not going to work on the car. You can only go as far as your knowledge. That's why you see some people, they are born again. They have been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's as far as they ever got, because they never bothered to go ahead and get more knowledge out of the word so they can advance. You can't go any further than your knowledge of the word of God. Now, you're looking at me sort of funny, but it's the truth. I see your wheels turning. Hello? Now I have a little bit of knowledge because I've been in the ministry. You have to do a little bit of everything at the church. I have some knowledge on working on the deals in the restroom. I have a little bit of knowledge about changing some stuff electrically, but I can't do what a plumber can do. I can't do what an electrician can do because I don't have that knowledge. Now I got the knowledge. I can take a wall plug loose and I know how to do that and not get myself shocked. But I don't know how to go out into the electric box and start undoing stuff and hooking stuff. I'm not even going there. When I was in the Army, I worked at the comm center stuff and we had maintenance people. Now, a guy by the name of Zalan Koski, we had an electrical problem. So he gets up there in that electric box. He knows what he's doing, but He's trying to do it without turning it off because, oh, I think I can do this. He had the knowledge, and the knowledge told him to go turn it off. Well, that screwdriver reached over and hit something, and he come flying off the ladder, and that screwdriver welded to that metal box because he made a ground. He was fine until that screwdriver touched that box and also touching the hot wire, and it made a connection. Hello. See, he had knowledge, but he thought he could do more. Well, I can do it all. Hey, you can't go against the knowledge that you have and expect it to work. His knowledge told him to turn that switch off before he goes in there and starts turning screws with that screwdriver. Hello? You know. Now, I have knowledge. I worked in the Army. I worked with radios. Okay? Communications. I could do it all, from voice to teletype to Morse code. Now, I could go up in the cockpit of the plane, and I can talk on that radio, and I can talk to the ATC guys, the air traffic controllers, and I can understand what they're saying, and I can talk back to them, but I don't have the knowledge to take what they told me. Okay, turn 10 degrees south, blah, 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 blah. I can communicate on the radio, but I don't have the knowledge that pilot does to do everything that they said to do. Anybody understand what I'm saying to you? And you see, that's why you see some people, they sat in the same church, they listened to the same pastor, and yet they're right here, and these people here, are you yourself, you continue to go up with God. And the reason is because you are expanding your knowledge in the Word, and they're not. Anybody get what I'm saying to you this morning? Is it making any sense to you? Hello. You see, Isaiah 5:13 says, therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. You see here, they went into captivity because they did not get the knowledge that they needed from God. They refused to do that. Now, when you remain ignorant of the things of God, then don't expect to receive anything. You know, one person said, it's insanity to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect different results. See? When we're unaware of the promises of God, we're unable to make them become effective in our lives. See, having knowledge of God in His Word actually gives us faith. And we go back to Romans 10:17. You all know it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. See, once we know what the Word says, we're never the same again. Our knowledge level increases, you know. I sometimes are teaching when I'm teaching in the school, the Rhema College, and I'm teaching pastors, and I say, now I could go on a plane. I can go, if somebody asks me, I can go up there and preach, and I haven't even been studying, because my knowledge or my reservoir of sermons that I have preached over the last almost 60 years is a whole lot larger than somebody that hadn't even preached yet. Hello? Let me understand what I'm saying to you. And see, it's coming back all the time. I keep coming back to the fact that that's why you see, that's why you may advance more than some of the people that you're sitting with in church, or they may advance more than you and you can't figure it out. And it is, it all comes back to the knowledge that you have from the Word of God. Anybody understand what I'm saying to you? You know, when we gain more knowledge of the Word of God, we have a greater understanding of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit in our lives, and what the Holy Spirit's for, and why we need to speak in tongues. See, knowledge, some people say, well, why tongues? In fact, my dad got a little book out there. Well, one of the reasons is at the Word of God, when you have the knowledge of the Word, it says you are recharging yourself. You are charging yourself up like a battery recharges itself. You know, how many of you got a cell phone in here? Hold it up. You got a cell phone, hold it up. If they didn't tell you that this thing needs to be charged, but you can have the knowledge of how to operate it, but if you don't have the knowledge to charge it up, after a while, this is not going to do you any good. Right? Okay. Now, there's all, you know, I see people, my grandsons, they know more about operating this thing than I do. How many of you have found out your kids, your young kids and your grandkids, especially us that are, we're not old, we're just mature. You know, I know. When Wesley, of course, he'd be 13 in August, but when he was about 3, he would play games on this thing. Well, he had always asked his Nana for her phone. Well, she got her phone back one day, and she said, what is this? Oh, he said, I bought a game. You know, when they're, because of their knowledge, and the younger you are starting to gain the knowledge, that's why it's so important to teach your children. The younger you are, when you start gaining knowledge of the Word of God, it stays with you better than if you wait till you're older to start doing it. How many? That's a known fact in education. Is that not correct? You pay, how many of you in education or in the education field? Is that not correct? I see them waving their hands at me. See, knowledge. Turn to your partner there next to you and say, knowledge. Knowledge of the Word will help you to be able to grow up and go up with God. See? You know, now, it's not an overnight process. It's a continual working. For fruit to be produced in a crop or a harvest, let's just say a harvest, the farmer just doesn't go out there and say, well, I think I'll get a crop this year. Well, he has to go out there first, and he has to prepare the ground. He has to, I know, before Grandpa ever would go and get, he would, first thing he'd do, he'd go out there in the early spring, and 'cause the field had been lying dormant for a few months, he'd go out there with these disc-like things and disc it up and get the soil all mixed up. Is that not, don't you have to do that? Yeah. And then sometimes before he would even plant, that would be in the process, he'd go through that field and spray something on there that was going to keep the weeds out. And they let that be on there a little bit, and then he'd go back. Finally, he would end up going through there and planting. Then he went in the house and sat down and did nothing for several months. No. He had to continually keep looking at that field and working with that field, and the plants started to grow. And it took a while, and then that cotton would pop out on those cotton plants. And now you can pick the cotton and take it down to the gin and get so much for every bale that you get off of your field. But it was a continual process. It started way back in the spring of the year and didn't come to fruition. It started way back in the last of February, 1st of March, and it didn't come into fruition until right there in July and August. But he hadn't been sitting doing nothing. He had been working that. That's what we have to do. We have to continually to get in the Word and continually to get knowledge. Hello. Down there in Texas, where I come from, when you planted the cotton back then, I don't know what they do now. I'm talking about way back. You know, I was 5, 6 years old. That's a long time ago. They got something down there in Texas called Johnson grass. And if you don't go into that field and do some hoeing and get that Johnson grass out of there, it'll take the field over and choke cotton out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that Johnson grass is mean stuff. But you also have to keep looking at that plant. Make sure the boll weevils don't get in there. There's all kinds of things you have to condemn. Why am I saying all that? I'm using that. That's what we do when we continue to stay in the Word. We're continuing to take care of our crop. And if you don't become weary and well doing, the Word says, you will reap in due season. There's a season for preparing the field, there's a season for planting, there's a season for taking care of the crop, and there's a season for harvest. It's the same thing with you as you get into more, you continually, there's a season for all of it. How many remember when you first heard the Word of Faith message? Man, that was great. But as you continued to study and gain knowledge, then it became more than just an excitement. It became a lifestyle. Am I right or wrong? Yeah. Now, growing in the knowledge from the Word of God, you begin to realize that through Christ, He has provided for us. 1 Peter 1:3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us. It says there, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Life. Oh, spiritual life. It don't say spiritual life. It says life. He's provided good things for us in our lives. But you only take advantage of it when you have knowledge of the Word. Knowledge gives you an understanding of provision. And I mean, there's all kinds of scriptures that tell us that we've been given all. It says we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For the promises of God are yes and in him, amen, to the glory of God. Romans 8:32. He he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, some people want to say, well, spiritual. No, that's all things. That's spiritual and natural. This morning, I'm trying to get you to understand that this is natural. There's a natural life with God. There's a spiritual life with God. Can you see that as you look at the different people in the Word of God? 1 Corinthians 3:21, therefore let no one boast in man, for all things are yours. Hello. You know, a lot of people are waiting on God. Somebody says, I'm waiting on God. Actually, if it's concerning things that you are needing, and God's waiting on you, he's already done it. He's already said, I've given you all things that provide that go toward godliness, life and godliness. Hello. So you need to learn about it and go take advantage of it. See, everything for us is based upon what Jesus did on the cross. Our salvation, our healing, our deliverance, our provision, our protection. But you don't know about, you can know about salvation. That's one knowledge. But then to get knowledge on healing, you got to go to the Word. Get knowledge about the Holy Spirit, you go to the Word. To get knowledge about the provision that he's provided for us that you can have and believe God for, go to the Word. I come back to it again. You can't access the promises of God beyond your knowledge of the promises of God. Come on now. See, as we grow in the knowledge of these great and precious promises, they begin to become part of our lives. And they begin to materialize in our lives. You know, when you know about something, you can access it. If you don't know about it, you can't access it. See, you can have a bank account. But if somebody goes up there and puts $100,000 in it and doesn't tell you about it, and you don't get, and you're not checking it, the money's there, but you can't access it because you have no knowledge of it. You have no knowledge of it being there. Although you could use it, it's there. Somebody put it in your account, but nobody told you about it, and you haven't bothered to check. You hadn't even looked at the statements or anything. So therefore, without knowledge of that, you can't access it. And without knowledge of everything that God has provided for you, you can't access it. That's why, see, you can believe the promises of God and experience God's abundant provision when you know about it, right? You can speak the promises of God and watch him perform when you know about it. Come on now. Now, growing in the knowledge of God's promises then helps us to get into a new dimension or a new life, you might say, or abundant living, because that's what he said. He said, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. You see, now go to verse 4. Go to verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. See? In the NLT it says, and because his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the worlds of construction. See, here it is. It's through all of the great and precious promises have been given to us to be partakers of the things of God. But none of it happens without the knowledge. See, everything here all goes back to the knowledge, right? grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. And then it goes on and tells you these things that become a part of us and in our lives because of our knowledge. See, these promises just won't jump on you. They're in the Word. But you got to get in the Word and have knowledge of them before it will happen. You know, you got to have knowledge that something is good to eat before you ever take a bite of it. You know. Now, you go out in the, my grandma used to go out in the woods and pick something called poke salad. It was a green. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Huh? Yeah, I see some hands. Yeah. Now, I go out there. I don't know. Hey, it's all of it. Just a bunch of stuff on the ground. You go, how many of you know that there are good mushrooms and bad mushrooms? If you don't have the right knowledge, you're probably going to poison yourself. Am I not right or wrong? Because you've got to know which mushrooms are digestible and which ones are harmful. Knowledge. Anybody getting what I'm talking about this morning? Is it coming through to you? Yeah. You know, God's promises will happen if we have knowledge to be able to believe him for those. God promised Abraham a son, and he got Isaac. God promised the Israelites deliverance, and he crossed the Red Sea, said, stand still and see that I'm God. And he did. David was anointed king, but it didn't look like he's ever going to get there. But he did, because God said it. See, what I'm trying to say to you, God's promise that he would give us all of these things he said in his word, exceeding great and precious promises, right? But it all comes back, hey, they're here, and it's great that they're here, but without your knowledge and understanding how to operate them, they never become effective in your life. Am I right or wrong? How many of you through the years you have learned to stand on the promises? But how did that come? Through knowledge of the Word of God. Is that not correct? You know, the old song we used to sing, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living Word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. But until you have the knowledge of how to stand on the promises of God, that's all they are, promises. Once you learn how to stand on the promises of God, then they become the foundation that begins to give you life and more abundantly. That's what God wants us to have. You see, we need to grow up so that we can go up into the plan of God. Go into the provisions of God. Go into the promises of God and live the good life that God wants us to live because he set all of this in here, and it all comes from knowledge. Knowledge of the Word. You can only go as far in the natural and in the spiritual as your knowledge lets you go. Heavenly Father, I spoke to these people for a few minutes today, trying to inspire them and to get them to realize that the more knowledge they have of you and your word, the greater their life, the greater they can be. Father, I pray that if the words we've said today would have found lodgment in hearts, and I pray that people will leave this place today changed and standing on your promises. I thank you for it in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Did you get anything out of this morning? It's I know it's probably things that you've heard before, but I wanted to come back. In fact, Peter said, as long as he is in his body, he's going to keep reminding his constituents. He's going to keep reminding of these things. And we have to keep being reminded of these things. And it's important that we get the knowledge in the Word of God. Bow your heads for just a moment. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. I don't know. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Maybe you're here today and you need to come and rededicate your life to God. You know what it is to have faith, to know God, but you're just not where you're supposed to be. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand. Anywhere in the room, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you right now, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, glory to God. Everybody stand. I don't see any hands today. Glory, 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 glory. I feel impressed today to lead in a sinner's prayer for somebody that's watching there online. I don't know who it is. I don't know. I just feel this in my spirit. And I want y'all all to say it. And if you're in this place and you need salvation, you didn't raise your hand, you can pray this prayer with me. Pray this prayer right now. If you need to rededicate your life to God and you're watching there, or you need Christ, but especially rededication, I really feel that in my spirit today. Reach your hand out toward that screen and pray this prayer with me with this audience right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for my salvation. You said in your holy word that if I would believe those things in my heart and confess them with my mouth, I would be saved. I believe in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth, and I thank you now that I'm a new person in Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, there's a place you can go there and you can type it in and write in and come and we'll know about it. So do that. If you prayed that prayer with us for rededication or for the first time, praise the Lord. I don't know how many were watching today. They didn't put it online. Sometimes they give me a figure back there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, is everybody ready to go out and get more knowledge? The more knowledge you have, the more alive the Word of God can become to you. Amen. Oh, they put it up. 1,590 online right now. 1,590. Besides us. Hallelujah. All over the world. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, tonight at 6 o'clock, service right here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. I'll be here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Hey, don't forget to go by and pick up your tickets for your baseball, okay? Connection team, would you please get in the aisle and go get our first-time guests and take them to that place so they can receive that special gift that we put together for them? Don't forget to go out and sign up to help with the Rockets over Rhema. Staff, y'all can go to the doors right now. Praise God. So we'll be there to greet you. Huh? Oh, okay. The discount cards are in the north and the west lobby. They're in both lobbies. You can get them in the north lobby or you can get them in the west lobby over there for the discount cards. Go out there and get that. Going with your family one meal at one of those places and get 10% off, that'll take care of buying the card right there. And then you still got 16 other places that you can go and get discounts for. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did you have something you wanted to sing?
Absolutely. All actually, right. Go back to the other one. I'll keep filling that one. It's the one you just sang.
Yeah, I know. I figured it was. That's why I asked.
Can I sing it?
Yeah.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, well I'm standing on on the promises of Christ, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all continue to sing something. He'll tell you you can go. I'm going to go to the door over there. God bless. We'll see you.